right, Life Point Church, how we doing? That wasn't real convincing, but that's okay. Life Point Church, how are we today? That's a little better. All right, we can go with that. Well, good morning. Thank you all so much for being here with us today. My name is Andy Driscoll, and I'm the lead pastor here at Life Point. And first and foremost, man, we are so excited that you are here with us today, worshiping, celebrating our good God. So, man, I appreciate you all being here. If this is your first time, you are our honored guests. So thank you so much for being here and hanging out with us and doing life with us here at Life Point. So today, a lot of times we do series, and we'll work through 3 or 4 week series. Today we're just kind of doing today and the next week, we're just kind of doing a little standalone. But today, over the past couple weeks, I've really been thinking about everything that's going on in our world today. If you watch the news or you're connected in any way to reality, we'll say, you'll know that it's tough times right now. I mean, there's a lot that has transpired, even in our own very community, over the past 2 to 3 weeks. And it got me thinking about just the general state of us today, whether a believer or not a believer, wherever you are in your journey with Christ, just kind of where we're at and how we can all find ourselves at times in a state of honestly feeling just hopeless, defeated, down, discouraged. I mean, it's very easy for us to find ourselves in that, whether it just be an internal thing that you're working through or some other external forces or events or things that have transpired with just in our community or even within your own family or whatever it may be. And it leads to questioning. It leads to confusion. It leads to, at times, doubt, frustration. Again, just a general sense of hopelessness. And it can come at any point in time for a variety of different reasons. I mean, maybe for you, you find yourself just kind of in the daily grind. You know, week in, week out, every single day, you feel like it's the same thing, whether it be school or work or whatever it is, and you're just kind of in this grind, and it somewhat feels pointless sometimes, meaningless. How many of you all have ever found yourself feeling that way? Like, not necessarily right now, but just at some point in time, right? A lot of us, that daily grind. Or maybe for you, it's dealing with some type of struggle, right? We talk about it a lot. Maybe for you, it's that there's some addiction that you keep wrestling with, and you feel like you're working hard at it, and you get some victory, and then, bam, next thing you know, you're back in the middle of it. Relapse, or you're falling prey to that again, and then you hit that cycle, and it becomes frustrating. You lose hope, or maybe it's battles with anxiety or depression, or some type of obsessive, compulsive, intrusive thoughts, or fear, or anxiety, guilt, shame, all these things that come into our lives that are more internal, and we struggle to get victory over it. And then it cycles, and it cycles, and it leads to some hopelessness. What about you? How many of you have ever found yourselves that way, more of the internal hopelessness feeling? Thank you for the honest ones, and you that didn't raise your hand, you're still battling with it. I understand. It's okay. You're not ready to claim it. Oh, it's all good. Other times, it's just general feelings of emptiness, loneliness. Despite all your efforts, you know, you work to achieve this thing. I've seen this so many times in people's lives where they have this goal, right? And they strive, and they work, and they work, and then they get there, and they achieve it. And they're like, now what? I feel like it was meaningless. Now I don't have anything to work towards, or now I got to figure out a new goal. I don't think she would mind me saying this, but this was many conversations with me and my wife. She had always had this goal of getting her doctorate degree, right? And she achieved that last year. And it was like this downward, you know, not like a full out like depressive state, but it was this kind of letdown for a few months afterwards. It was like, okay, now what? Just that general sense of almost meaningless. Or I've worked my entire life to get money or to climb this corporate ladder or to have this house or this car or this, and at the end of the day, you still feel empty, hopeless. It's reality. If we're being honest, which I hope LifePoint Church is always that place where people can come, no masks, and really be honest about what they're going through, who they are, and just those struggles, we all find ourselves there. And one of the beautiful things about Scripture is that we get to see that we're not alone in how we feel and how we think and the struggles that we may go through. As I was kind of thinking through this week, I'm reminded of Solomon in the Old Testament. This was probably the wisest dude to ever live, to ever walk the planet. Rich, wise, he was a king. Like, this dude had it all. Wisdom beyond wisdom. And we find him in the book of Ecclesiastes, to be honest with you guys, I've never really studied that much. But I've been reading through it a lot this week. And I really encourage you to dig into it because it's a very interesting book. And it's only 12 chapters, which I get real stoked about because it's not a ton. But Ecclesiastes, we see that he's basically looking back. He's towards the end of his life, and he's looking back. And this dude is raw and authentic and honest about his feelings and what he sees and his experiences. And I think it's something that we can't ignore, that we have to look at. So what we're getting ready to do is something that I don't think that I've ever done in the 3.5 years that I've been a lead pastor or any of the times beforehand that I preached, but we're going to read this entire chapter of Ecclesiastes 1, not the whole book, but 18 verses, because I want you to hear this. So follow along on the screen. If you have your Bibles, crack those open, but let's go ahead and read. I want to read this and listen to these words. It says this, and this is in the New Living Translation. It says, these are the words of the teacher, King David's son, who ruled in Jerusalem. So this is Solomon. He says, everything is meaningless, says the teacher, completely meaningless. Now that's something you don't expect to see when you're reading the Bible, right? It's meaningless. What do people get for all their hard work under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. The sun rises and the sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south and then turns north. Around and around it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the river and flows out again to the sea. Everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. Again, a general feeling that a lot of us feel. No matter what we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are never content. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, here's something new, but actually it's old. Nothing is ever truly new. We don't remember what happened in the past, and in future generations, no one will remember what we are doing now. Super encouraging, I know. I know you're all are uplifted. Check it out, verse 12. I, the teacher, was king of Israel, and I lived in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to search for understanding and to explore by wisdom everything being done under the heaven. I soon discovered that God has dealt a tragic existence to the human race. Let that sink in. I observed everything going on under the sun, and really, it's all meaningless, like chasing the wind. He says that phrase several times throughout this entire book. It's meaningless, like chasing the wind. I'm gonna challenge you today, if there's some wind gusts, go chase it. See what happens. Not gonna catch it. He says it's meaningless, like chasing the wind. What is wrong cannot be made right, and what is missing cannot be recovered. I said to myself, look, I am wiser than any of the kings who ruled in Jerusalem before me. I have greater wisdom and knowledge than any of them. So I set out to learn everything from wisdom to madness and folly. But I learned firsthand that pursuing all this, again, is like chasing the wind. The greater my wisdom, the greater my grief. To increase knowledge only increases sorrow. Again, not very encouraging. But you know what I love about this, and what excited me about reading that, is it's authentic. It's real. He is laying his thoughts, his heart out on this from his experience. He's looking back over his life. And when we look and we read on in the chapter, and I encourage you to read the entire book, not the chapter, but the whole book of Ecclesiastes, you're going to see that this turns, right? This isn't just a gloomy, poor, pitiful me, and then done. That's not what this is about. This book is filled, again, with just that raw, authentic honesty. And I don't know about you, but I absolutely love that. Even in my day-to-day, I would rather someone be brutally honest with me than to sugarcoat anything, because nothing ever gets done, nothing ever moves forward when people just tiptoe around the truth. So respectfully, lovingly, lay it out there. I'm all about that. I love that. And that's what you see here. But when you really read the rest of the book, we see that the Solomon is not trying to just tell us that everything is pointless and meaningless and just why even try. That's not what it's about. He's not here to destroy hope. He didn't write to destroy hope. But rather, he wrote to show us the truth of what it's like without Christ. That without God in our lives, truly, it's meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. And really, when you break it down, what he's showing us is that there's still hope. Despite everything that's going on in your life or going on around you, what's happened in the past, and what you may fear about the future, there's still hope. And that's what he's presenting to us. Again, there's a lot going on around us in our world, even locally. When you look back, like I said, for me, when I'm sitting here thinking about hope versus hopelessness, I'll be honest, after watching the news for a few weeks where you see someone here in our own community going to a church, knocking on the door with ill intent, and then going to Kroger and shooting two people, killing them, that leads to feelings of hopelessness. Is anything ever going to change? We've seen it done before. It's going to happen again at some point. And that is so disheartening. Or to hear about, in Pittsburgh, 11 people losing their lives in a synagogue. It's heartbreaking. It's the state of our world today. Very quickly can we slip into the feeling, as Solomon did, it's meaningless. It's pointless. Why even try? But there's still hope. There's so much hope. It's the great news that there is hope. And what we're going to do for the rest of our time is we're going to look through Scripture, and we're going to find our hope. And we're going to see it very clearly that we, in fact, have that hope. I actually did just a quick little word study on the word hope this week, and found that it appears over 100 times in the Bible. Over 100 times we see the word hope, which allows me to confidently sit here and say to each of you, I don't care what you're going through, I don't care what your feelings are, understand that there's hope. There's hope beyond your pain. There's hope beyond your struggle. There's hope beyond your stress, your fear, your doubt. There's hope for each and every single one of us. There's always hope. And we're specifically going to look at a verse that comes later in Ecclesiastes in chapter 9, where we see that there's hope for the living. There's hope for the living. So check this out. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. Says this, again, we see a little bit of that woe is me stuff, and then it flips in verse 4. It says, it seems so tragic that everyone under the sun suffer the same fate. That is why people are not more careful to be good. Instead, they choose their own mad course, for they have no hope. There is nothing ahead but death anyways. Again, that's that negative, hopeless way of thinking. And then he switches and says, there is hope only for the living. There's hope for the living. As they say, it's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. True. But there's hope for the living. There's hope for the living. So that makes me think, okay, let's define and look at living. What does it truly mean to be alive? Right? I mean, that's where my mind goes. So what does that look like? So we're going to see that there's two ways of being alive that we're going to see in Scripture and that we're going to talk about. The first that we're going to see is, just generally speaking, if you're physically alive, there's hope. Right? There's hope for the living. So if you are physically alive today, right now, understand there's hope. And as I'm looking around, that's everyone here, I think. Yes, we're all alive. So there's hope. And we can take assurance in that. We can take some peace and confidence in that fact that there is hope because we have the opportunity for another day. Because we woke up this morning, we have hope. And that can be very encouraging. But taking it beyond that, not just physical life, which is important. We see that when we look at this, spiritually speaking, there's spiritual life as well. Our spiritual life. So we can also say that if you're spiritually alive, there's hope. And that's the hope that surpasses everything. See, just to be physically alive gives us a glimmer of hope. There's an opportunity for a better day. There's an opportunity to rise above. But that's only when we connect with the Father. That's only being connected to Christ. Because only connected to our good God breeds that spiritual life. And when we're spiritually alive, there's always hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, it says, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." All will be made alive. And then in Romans 6, verse 11, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ." We're seeing these comparisons of death, sin, to life in Christ. And again, if we're alive, there's hope. And then in John 10:10, Jesus says this. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I come that you may have life and have it abundantly." Not so that you'll just be able to live another day, but just you'll have an abundant life, a good life, a thriving life, a life of hope. See, to me, it's not a coincidence that when Solomon, the wisest guy, is writing way before this time, before Jesus, is saying that there's hope for the living, only for the living. It's not a coincidence that Jesus then says that I come that you may have life. Like, think about that. That's not a coincidence. Jesus is letting us know that in me, there's hope. It's not meaningless. It's not like chasing after the wind when you're connected to me. Last week we talked of, or not last week, the week before that, we talked about being connected to the vine. And just so you know, that actually stayed in that base, if you were here, that old branch, for like a week. It didn't grow. It didn't sprout anything, right? But we see that when we're connected, we produce fruit. When we're connected, there's always hope. Always hope. It's not a coincidence. It's a lasting hope. It's an eternal hope. It's a hope that even when things are not going the way that you want it to go, and when you're wrestling with that, just whatever it is that you are dealing with, because I promise, I am confident that every single individual sitting here, regardless of how old you are dealing with something right now. You're struggling with something right now. You're upset about something right now. You're fearful of something right now. You're angry at something right now. You're worried about something right now. You feel empty right now, lonely, meaningless. It's all of us. But there's hope. And what I want you to ultimately see this morning is that our hope is in a person. And that person is Jesus. That's it. I've talked to so many people that have placed their hope in money or relationships, other individuals, possessions, their identity and their career, their job or what they do. But our only true, lasting hope is in Jesus. He brings life. And we know that if we're alive, we have hope. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, he always has a small little introduction to his letters that he writes. And in this, it says, "This letter from Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, appointed by the command of God, our Savior in Jesus Christ, who gives us hope." That's how he opens up his letter, letting you know right off the bat that Jesus brings hope. Romans 15, verse 13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." How many of you this morning, right now, currently, today, can say that you are overflowing with peace, joy, and hope? 4 or 5 people. And of those 4 or 5 people, I would 100% believe that. And I promise you, if you go talk to them, they're going to say, "It's because my hope is in Christ." Because he brings peace and he brings joy, not just enough to make it through the day, but overflowing. It's limitless. He'll give it to you time and time and time and time again because he knows we need it. It doesn't mean things are going to be easy. It doesn't mean that nothing's ever going to go wrong and that it's all rainbows and sunshine and butterflies and whatever. That's not reality. Reality is what Solomon was writing about. But the truth is that Jesus brings hope, peace, joy, because we're made alive. And the reason why, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, 19, and 21 says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty, the meaningless, the hopeless way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God." Jared led us in the song before, that closing song is "Jesus Paid It All." Hopefully, moving forward, me and Jared will be able to communicate a little better on what I'm preaching about. But he didn't know that we were going to be talking about this. But that, what a perfect segue. What a perfect song. That Jesus paid it all. And because of that, we can have hope. We have hope. So I don't know for you exactly what it is that you're going through. For some, I do. Many, I don't. I don't know what you're going through, but I want to remind you today that there's still hope. There is hope. You don't have to shell up. You don't have to throw in the towel. There's hope. While things seem dark and many times completely meaningless, there's hope. While they seem tragic, right? Tragic. Hopeless. No. For the living, there's hope. We are made alive in Christ. Go back and read Ecclesiastes. I promise you, it'll open your eyes to a few things. Lots of wisdom in there. A lot of great truth in there. But most importantly, without Christ, not connected to the Father, it truly is meaningless. But when you're connected to Him, there's hope, there's joy, there's peace. And not just a little bit, again, not enough to just get you through the day, but overflowing. And when it overflows, you get to share it. You give it out. You love on people. You show them. You don't tell them about the hope, you show them. You don't tell them about the joy that comes in Christ, you show them. That's when things start to change. That's when people truly embrace the fact that there is hope and that our hope is a person. He can and will fill you with the peace and joy as you trust Him. And that hope will overflow. So again, regardless of what you're going through, know that there's hope. And don't journey that alone. We're family. We're a community. We're called to do life together as followers of Christ. And when things seem meaningless, let's rally around each other and remind each other of the hope that we have in Christ, the joy that we have in Christ, so we can take that overflow and go share it with every single person we interact with. There is still hope, I promise. So embrace that hope today. And that hope is Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We truly, truly thank you for the fact that you are our hope. Despite what we go through, despite our fears and our frustrations, our doubts, the meaningless things that happen that we experience, that we know at the end of the day, that you give hope, that you are hope. And may we embrace that today. As we continue in prayer, maybe you're here this morning and you've never truly connected to the Father. Sure, you're alive physically, but spiritually, nothing. Sure, you may come to church. Maybe you grew up in church, but you've never truly connected to the Father. And if that's you this morning, may I encourage you, step over that line of faith to give Him your life. Become spiritually alive this morning. You can only do so in being connected to Him. Scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God rose Him from the grave, that you'll be saved. And I want you to claim that truth this morning. If you've never stepped over that line of faith, trusting and believing in God, just call out to Him. Be made new in Christ. And He loves you. Despite what you may feel sometimes, despite what you may unfortunately see from other quote-unquote Christ followers, man, know that God is crazy in love with you and wants nothing more than to be connected with you, in relationship with you. So much so that He made a way for you to be made right with Him. So that your sin and the things that your screw-ups and the things that you do no longer prevent you from being in fellowship with Him, in communication, relationship with Him. He sent His Son to die, to raise again, defeat death, hell, and the grave for you, so that you could be made whole and made new, to be alive. And where there's life, there's hope. So if that's you this morning, just call out to Him however He leads you. don't necessarily have to come forward. It's not a show. It's not an action. It's not a work. It's just between you and God. It's a heart. It's your heart connecting with His. It's placing your faith and your trust in Him. Confessing and believing. Confessing that you're flawed, that you need a Savior. Believing that He is the one and only way to be made right through His death, burial, and resurrection. So you confess that and you place your faith in Him this morning. I promise you, it'll be the greatest decision you'll ever make. You won't regret it. You'll be made alive. But maybe you're here this morning and you are a follower of Christ and you've been a follower of Christ for some time, but you've never really truly embraced hope. You know about it. You have a head knowledge of it. You believe it. But you're not living from it. You're still stuck in everything's meaningless and woe is me. There's hope. Our hope is that person. It's Jesus. So live like it. Live like there's hope. Love people like there's hope from that overflow. See, He doesn't give you just enough for you. It's an overflow so that you can then give it. Live from that hope today. This time we're going to go ahead and transition into our communion portion of the service. And here in a minute, we'll give you time to pray and to do some business with God. And if you're ready to give your life to Christ, or you have other questions, or you want someone to pray with you, we'll have some of our leaders up front, and they'd be more than happy to do that. But at this time, we're going to, like I said, transition to our communion. And here at Life Point Church, we believe that there are a few ordinances that we see that are blessed and ordained by God in Scripture. One of them is baptism, which we celebrate as we have people ready to be baptized. But one of the other is communion. And neither one of them are a requirement for being connected with God, but they're both symbols to represent certain things. And as we take of the juice and the bread, it's for us to remember the sacrifice that God made so that we could be connected to Him. And giving of His Son Jesus for us to be our hope. Shedding of His blood and giving of His body. And we take and we celebrate that. And so this morning, the only requirements for partaking in communion is one, that you have a connected relationship with God. That you have placed your faith and trust in Him. And the other is that you just take some time here in a moment and just search your heart. God brings something up, confess it. If there's something you need to do later to make something right, do that. But just spend a little time with God, thanking Him for what He's done for you. So at this time, Jerry's going to lead us in a song. And I want you just to do business with God. And if you'd like someone to pray with you, you can come forward. Or if you want someone to pray with you here in a minute, once we dismiss by rows to partake of communion, there'll be other leaders that'll still be up here, and they'd be more than happy to pray with you. So at this time, you do business with God, and then I'll read some scripture, and then we'll begin our communion service.
Above all power, above all king, above all nature and all creation, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders this world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what You're worth. you took the fall.